welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along once again.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking back at Saturday's defeat to Partick Thistle. We'll hear from the manager, Jim McAnally, as well as Jason Brown and Hamish Ritchie. And we'll look ahead to the next two games, which is East Fife and Falkirk before the split. So, Martin, how's things been? A different sort of weather that we're facing as opposed to what it was last week, anyway?
Yeah, last week we had frost and snow in the morning. This week we've got glorious sunshine. What difference a week makes in not only Scottish football, but the Peterhead weather.
I know, it was lucky that the snow kind of held off on Saturday, but I think literally just what, 20 minutes after the game had finished, the park was covered again.
Aye, the heavens sort of opened even just before we left. So the game ended at the right time, not only for us, but I think the players as well.
Aye, I think it could have ended a lot earlier than that. But anyway, we'll have to discuss it into a bit more detail. So Saturday, hugely disappointing 3-0 loss against a Partick Thistle team that weren't really firing on all cylinders prior to that. But we've come away with a 3-0 defeat. Overall, what was your kind of take on it?
Very poor performance. And I know it's easy saying that after a 3-0 defeat, but it was poor. I don't think we did nearly enough throughout the game to merit anything from it. It was poor throughout. We didn't create enough chances. Midfield, as much as we like to praise him and we think it's a good trio that's in there, I thought we were miles off the pace. I know Partick Thistle is a full-time team, but you try and take the positives that you're the home side. Yeah, although the fourth result wasn't what we'd hoped for, the performance was good. And you'd have thought that would have given us the confidence on Saturday to try and lay our glove on Partick Thistle. Unfortunately, we're nowhere near them.
No, I mean, we did. Probably one of our better players this season, Anne McCarthy, was suspended against his old side, ironically. Ben Armour dropped out again through a little niggle, but in all in likelihood the team was strong enough to compete.
Yeah, I don't think there was much changes from that team to the team that beat Partick Thistle down at Firhill. I know we rode our luck a bit down there, but we needed a massive slice of luck on Saturday to try and get anything from the game. It was poor. I go back to that, we played well against Forfar. And I think that's probably more frustrating as well, the fact that we had a good performance there and then we just sort of came up well short against Partick Thistle, who had spells in the game that which they were good. Let's take none away from them at periods of it. But once they got their noses in front, we never looked like getting back in the game, unfortunately.
So the start of the game, it was quite even, I would have said, for the first sort of 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought the first 10, 15 minutes, I don't think Partick Thistle really come out all cylinders going, but then again, neither did we, and it sort of balanced out. And then once they, I think after that 15-minute period, they sort of realised that if they could up their game, you know, the 3 points were there for the taking. Ian McCall was certainly shouting that from the sidelines, that he felt his team had more gears to go through to try and get the 3 points. They did it, whereas we didn't.
But the best chance of the opening exchanges did come to Peterhead through Jordan Brown. We kind of thought initially it was a good save, but I think having spoken to Jordan after the game, it was a slight deflection. It took it wide.
Yeah, and also we're not getting the breaks what we maybe did, you know, when we played Airdrie to start the restart and away at Dumbarton. That lot of things, you know, had it been a couple of weeks ago, that maybe takes a deflection off the defender and goes in the net, or Jordan strikes it a lot cleaner and it goes in. Well, things like that didn't go our way. I think we had a succession of about 5-6 corners quite early on to put pressure on them. We did to an extent, but overall it was very poor.
The corners, you mentioned the corners there. Their keeper, Jamie Steadon, he really struggled with crosses on those early corners. I think, as you said, about 4 or 5 within the space of 5 minutes. And the question, I guess, we kind of look at it, it's kind of one of those things you look at after the game. You think, okay, Ryan Conroy left footed, he's going to swing him from the right hand side on top of the keeper. But from the left-hand side, he's swinging him out the way. Surely we could try somebody who's right-footed to try and swing it back on top of the keeper again.
Yeah, you mentioned in your commentary on Saturday that there was a free kick that Conroy took and the keeper came for it and sort of flapped and took out one of his own defenders. And even through your commentary, you were quite surprised and sort of looked at each other thinking, the keeper doesn't look the best aerial balls coming in. And then, as you said, we get the corners. Brian Conroy from the right is good, but I find it hard to believe that there's no one in that Peterhead team that can take a corner right-footed. When you see a keeper that's... He wanted to come for it, but he wasn't great at it. So you surely try and get a right footer to put a little bit of pressure on keeper, and you never know what can happen from a second ball. If he drops it, you know you've got a chance. So I know Ryan's good at set pieces, and Jim praises him quite a bit for it. But I certainly think there should be someone from the right-hand side able to take a corner.
But then, obviously, as we've now know that Ryan Connor's injured and is going to miss probably the next two games, so somebody's definitely going to have to step up and start taking those corners and set pieces.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, as you mentioned, Ryan's going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks, so someone's going to have to now take them. So why can't they do it from the right-hand side when Ryan he is playing? Yeah. I sometimes think that we're stuck in our ways a wee bit, and when it's going well, it's fine, but when it's not going for us, we don't change it quick enough, or we're too slow to react. So I think if a couple of corners gone in, they're poor from the right hand side with Ryan on the left foot, you need to change it.
I think Gary Fraser would probably be one that would be up there for taking the corners. Obviously, he's out for the rest of the season, but as you said, there must be somebody else that can take a right footed corner.
Yeah, you would like to think so. I mean, that's, like I said, I find it hard to believe that we've got quite a few right-sided players yet, none of them can take a corner. But they're quite happy to take free kicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen Scott Brown, he likes taking a free kick, Jordan as well, but yet they're not allowed, or they're not given that responsibility to take a corner. It just seems a little strange.
Right, the game continued on. I guess it became... I get more apparent that Thistle were getting stronger as the half progressed. Even before the goal, they were starting to create opportunities. They were getting in behind the back four.
Yeah, I think was it just about the half hour mark? There was a ball from the wide area came in between the two centre halves, and Brian Graham, could be wrong, he had a header easily saved by Josh Ray. Sorry, but. Again, the warning signs were there that it was just a deep ball in between two centre-halves, and we didn't really pay much attention to that in terms of, we conceded shortly afterwards.
Yeah, the Cardinal goal came in just after that. You have to say it was well worked, but if you watch it again, Murray picks up the ball on the right-hand side, loses it, and then he finds himself free on the other side because nobody's really tracked his run across. He's got in behind the defence and he's played a great ball across for Cardinal to tuck in.
Yeah, the movement of Parth Thistle was a lot better than what we've seen in recent weeks at Balmour. I think that full-time aspect sort of shone through. Their movement off the ball was really good, whilst maybe a few of the players from the balls on the opposite wing are ball-watching for Peterhead. I think we've seen that a few times where Jim was screaming at the wider players to sort of trap back and help out the full-backs. That was one of them occasions. He's found himself free, as you said, a good ball across, but frustrating from our point of view.
That's where Conroy got injured and came off pretty quick. And as we now know, he's got probably missed the next 2 or 3 weeks, as you said, so he's got to be a big miss. Murray, again, was causing us problems. He had a chance just before half-time, around about the 40th minute again. But this time it was saved by Josh Ray, made himself big, but it was another opportunity, and that even at 2-0 you would have thought it was going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, they went 1-0 up. I think the timing of the goal as well, was it 39, 40, 41 minutes sort of thing, just 5 minutes before the break. I think if we'd gotten in at half-time, yeah, you never know, it might have been slightly different, because it's a different game when the players have come out in the second half, but the timing of the goal was poor that we lost. Also, the goal itself was poor. but obviously good play from them. But as you said, Josh made a good save to prevent it going 2-0. And you just hope that that would have given them the platform perhaps to come out in the second half and maybe have a go at it, but it didn't appear to be the case.
It changes the half-time talk for both managers, because I think you had said to me kind of off-air or Arsenal off-air, who do you think was going to be the happier of the two managers before the goal went in. And it was kind of difficult as to kind of see who would have been happier. Obviously, the goal goes in, suddenly Ian McCall's jumping up and doing, and he's quite ecstatic to be going in 1-0.
Yeah, we sort of felt that maybe 10 minutes before their goal came, that Ian McCall was getting more and more vocal. I think he was at a frustrated man on the touchline. And obviously, the longer the game goes, the more frustrated he's going to be. I just wasn't sure whether the fact that Partick Thistle hadn't really created that much in the game, whether Ian McCall would have been the happier manager if it had gone in 0-0 at half-time, or whether Jim would have been, in the sense of we've had a few corners, a few set pieces, we've tried to work it but never really done much with it, and again, we're still drawn with a full-time team. So, for that perspective, it was difficult to see which manager would have been the happier, but as we've seen, they got their goal, they got their noses in front and didn't ever really look back.
I think what was maybe evident was that their initial game plan of lumping it up to Brian Graham wasn't working, because Jason Brown was winning all, if not most, of his headers, and sort of kept Graham pretty quiet. He's obviously then changed it slightly, made it a bit more kind of getting wide and try and take on a bit more movement from the front three, and that's probably was what the difference was.
Yeah, I think one of our strengths just now with McDonald and Brown is they've got that aerial presence, and I think Graham, he got very little joy in the first half hour against Jason Brown, and as you said, Ian McCall changed it. He tried to get the three more fluent up top in movement. He got, you know, get the ball wide and get crosses in, which I think is an area that we struggle with. We've seen it at full back and on either side, that we do struggle to deal with balls in the box from a wider area. It has been a problem this season, you know, even going back to the start in October. It's an area we've struggled in, and I think Ian McCall sort of seen that extra half an hour. He wanted to change it, and you know, 10 minutes later, they've got their goal.
Second half, the one thing you don't want to do is concede too early in the second half, and you certainly don't want to concede from a mistake. Kieran Freeman probably been one of our better players before the suspension, and has made a huge error. But in his defence, I would say, okay, he's made a huge error, but it's quite a long way out where he's made the error. And Cardinal's obviously going through, got onto the loose ball. Again, if you watch that again, I think his back line doesn't help him out. I think Brown and McDonald were slow to react to the mistake. Whether or not they expected Josh Ray to come and collect it or what, but they were just a bit slow. And by that time, they had reacted. Tiffany's passed them and got an easy tapping.
Yeah, when the ball went past Freeman, the back line sort of froze for a second or two. And as you said, that they've gone in behind us, and it was a good ball across. But Partick Thistle came out the traps flying at the start of that second half. I think within about 20 seconds or something, they'd had a shot on target. And they really did look like they were meaning business. Josh Ray took a goal kick within, the first 2 minutes of the restart. And you see how high they were pressing up. I think they realised if they could get a second goal, it would basically kill the game, even at 2-0. And then I think that's what they came out to do in the second half. They got the forced a mistake. I agree with you. It is quite a bit out. I think Freeman will feel maybe slightly disappointed with the goalkeeping situation in the back line. Maybe could have felt it could have helped out, been helped out better, I should say. But then once it goes to the back post, it was a tap in. It was 2-0, and I think from then on in, it was sort of game over.
Yeah, even early on at that stage, you could have thought, well, they could have as much as they wanted, because as little as what Peter had offered first half, they were going to offer even less now that it was 2-0.
Yeah, I think once they went 2-0 up, they got their tails up, you know, Ian McCall sort of calmed down a little bit in the touchline. He sensed that really they could have had 3, 4, 5 if they wanted. And for about 10 minutes after that, they were really going at it to even get their third. And at one point you did start to worry that, you know, once the goals go in, are we just going to capitulate and crumble? Because I think defensively we've been much improved on what the season before was, but there is still a lot of work to do. But we've also got to remember that Partick Thistle are a full-time team, but on Saturday it was quite evident there was a gulf in class.
Third goal, again, we've seen it, an error from a player who has been pretty solid for us this time, Josh Ray. We initially kind of looked at it as it was a header from Brian Graham, but again, I've seen it again, it maybe comes off Andy McDonald more than anything else. However, having said that, I still think Ray should be dealing with it better, because if anything, the touch from McDonald actually takes the sting off the header, and I just think he's misjudged what's going to happen, and I think he's misjudged or he's got his bearings wrong.
Yeah, I think it's one of them. The corners come in, and as you said, the deflection sort of maybe caught him off guard. He's maybe got his body positioned and his stance or the weight and how he's going to go for it. And then that deflection, it sort of almost like killed the ball dead. And it was such a weird goal to see. You know, probably noting your commentary, it was like, oh, it's gone and it's 3-0. And we were quite surprised because it just seemed to literally hit the post and go in. But Josh Ray was right there. So, yeah, I do feel he could have maybe done a bit better. We've seen the goal quite a few times now. I've still looking, whether it's a Brian Graham goal or whether it's a deflection. And there's even another player there that might have just taken a slight nick off of. So, difficult for the goalkeeper, but I think on this occasion, yeah, he's now covered himself in glory. He'll probably be disappointed when he looks back on it.
It's fair to say nobody really had a good game on Saturday. It was poor from just about everybody.
Yeah, you said to me about a man of the match, and that's probably one of the harder games to try and pick, because it is difficult there. We've got to understand that they're a part-time team and they're playing a full-time team. They've had a lot of games in succession. There is that bit of travelling, but I don't think it excuses how poor Saturday was. I think everybody would expect, you know, even if you're going to get beat, you put up a performance. And I do think that performance fell short of what Jim would have been looking for. And probably the players themselves, if they think about it, was a disappointing day, that's for sure.
There should have been a bit more kind of emphasis, I think, as well, because there's a huge chance to get that top half spot and almost confirm yourself in the league for next season without the hassles of, you know, looking over your shoulder. So it just seemed flat, and there just was no creative spark from anybody.
Yeah, it's almost like we got beat by Sinistrier, we lost to Clyde, and then we got the point against Forfar, which, you know, missing the penalty and then them scoring late on. I think the wind's maybe been taken from their sails, and I think it was maybe they were scared to open up against Partick Thistle, but they knew that Partick Thistle were a good side. They knew the experience that they've got, and I think there maybe was just a bit of fear that, you know, if we open up, we could lose quite a few goals. In the end, we didn't play great. We didn't really get cut open, but we've still shipped 3 goals. So sometimes you're better just to, you know, the best form of defence is attack. But it was poor overall.
I think if it's easy to say, of course, if Jordan Brown's effort goes in, and we go 1-0 up that early on, it just completely changes the game. Because if Ian McCall was frustrated prior to them scoring at 0-0, you can imagine how frustrated and intense his side would have then been for the remainder of the game. And maybe even then the Peterhead tails get up slightly, and then you never know what happens. It's a team that he was fighting for his life, I think, as part of his own manager, because I think another defeat would have almost been the final nail for him.
Yeah, I agree. We sort of sensed that from him quite early on. He was shouting at his players and looking for more and shouting, you've got to be better, you've got to be braver. So he was under pressure. I think he was feeling it. Like you touched on there, if we'd gone 1-0 up, the players get that bit of confidence. Because, as I said, the Forfar performance was good. We didn't get the result. And if you do get an early goal and go 1-0 up against Thistle, the fact that we beat them at Firhill as well just gives you that confidence again to go and be, you know, try and be compact. And even if you hit them on the counter and you get a second, you know, imagine what could have been. But we're yeah, a million miles away from that on Saturday.
Right, let's hear from the manager and see what his thoughts were.
Hugely disappointing. How do you sum that one up?
No, that's exactly what it was. We, as I said, the first half we were competitive, and I did feel as though they had a dominant period just before they scored, and we need to learn to see these wee periods out a wee bit better. But you know, it didn't happen, and the second half, as I already said to the guys earlier, you're saying stay in the game, and then you just shoot yourself in the foot with two horrific goals, and just can't do that at this level, you know what I mean? It's just,
did the goal sort of come at a bad time as well, just before half time, 5 minutes before that?
I do think that, you know, we were competing to get, I mean, it must have been poor entertainment. It was, you know, I didn't feel as though any team was doing anything, but it was long balls and second balls, and but I thought, you know, we were competing well and well in the game and that, but to lose the goal when we did, and then, you know, obviously the next two goals to be self-inflicted, you can't do that when you're playing the big teams, you know what I mean? And we never looked like we were going to pull anything back, you know.
You had quite a lot of possession, sort of particularly first half, without really creating too much. Is that frustrating on your kind of part, that you're getting so much of the ball but not creating enough?
Aye. Well, to be fair, I think they were well prepared for us, as far as they were making sure that they were going to press us and close us down all the time. And that's what I said to the players, even when we were 3 down and you seen we were trying to play out, and no way that when they're 3 up, they're going to let us play out, you know what I mean? So sometimes you need to take your medicine and just go on with the game and try and play for seconds and whatever, you know. But listen, they never threw the towel in, they kept at it. There's guys getting game time there that's not had much game time, and, you know, apart from Conroy, who might be out for a couple of weeks, you know, we got Simon off just because he was stiff as a board, really. And I just felt if we left him, he would have pulled something. So you've just got to bear in mind that, you know, after next week, it's going to be another 4 games in 2 weeks. So if you get a kind of a long-term injury, you're going to miss the rest of the season. So you've got to start thinking about these things, and that's what I was doing, you know.
The second and third goals, you must have been tearing your hair out with them.
Raging. But it's D-Day. You know, D-Day. No point in ranting and raving. The thing is, they know themselves. They know themselves that wasn't good enough. And that's the problem. When you've got young players, you know, and they make mistakes. If you rant and rave now, you could lose them. So it's just a case of trying to pick them up. And, as I say, that's what was pleasing for me, especially with Jason and Andy. I thought they stuck to their task quite well. When they were 3 down, they were pretty much exposed at times to counter attacks, and, you know, we didn't, by that time, with a weaker midfield. And so, good for me to watch day two, staying at it, and, you know.
I thought that Jason did particularly well, so first half, handling Graham. He kept him pretty quiet.
Aye, no, I thought the two of them done okay, but Jason's been playing well. Jason's in a good place in a minute. And, as I say, you just try to keep them up because it's a big part of your team, the centre backs, you know.
Would it be a tough job picking the players up for the next game?
No. The main thing is just getting them back in. We've got them training on Tuesday. Like say, Thistle are playing Tuesday, Thursday. It's just getting them training and getting them back moving again, because there's no time to dwell on anything, you know what I mean? We just need to get back to it again. I mean, what has that been? 2 wins, 2 draws and a defeat, something like that. So it's not the worst ever, and we just need to move on and make sure we pick up points.
Are you still hopeful of getting a top half kind of finish, or?
Well, we've got to try, you know. We've just got to we go to East Fife next week, and if you win there, you still know the door's not closed, you know what I mean? So you get your best shot. And if you aim for the top and it doesn't come off, then at least you might be safe enough in the middle, you know.
I think the results kind of went your way again today, so it wasn't too bad.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's different now because you're having to manage the situation that you're in, and at half time you're thinking you're winding against a full time team, do you leave players on that are maybe going to injure yourself, you know, so you're maybe weakening your team a wee bit, but you know, you've just got to do it.
Obviously, he's quite disappointed, and you can kind of hear it in his tone. He's still optimistic that there is a chance of a top half finish, but I think realistically, it's gone now. I think
I think so. I think the result didn't forfeit any chance that we had then. I think was sort of gone. Unless you can get 6 points from these five from Falkirk, which, based on our performances, our sort of results in the last 3 or 4 games, I think would be ambitious. Again, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was after the Dumbarton game, I said, you know, we've got to be looking up, and was quite optimistic. I thought we had a chance. And then the Stenhousemuir in the Cup, and then the Clyde game, you could see the performances just dipping slightly, resulting in go our way. Forfar, although the performance was good, we didn't get the right result with a chance to go 2-0 up, and then 2 minutes later, of course, they've scored and they've gotten a point. And I think the done our fixtures we've got, as I said, East Fife and Falkirk. I'd be surprised if we had any chance of getting the top six. So top five, we should say, sorry.
Where does the goals come through then? Because that's our biggest biggest issue at the moment.
Yeah, it's frustrating because we struggle for goals, and it only seems to be, you know, Ben Armour will chip in with a few, but if you've got any aspirations of, you know, steering clear of relegation and relegation playoffs, and you want to challenge for that top five and promotion playoffs, you've got to get goal scorers. And you look around our team and there's nobody really there. Scott Brown got a few last season. Again, some of his performances have dipped over the course of the season. I know it's been stop-start. It's difficult for everyone. But when you look at the team, you know, bending the start on Saturday, you do have concerns of where the goals are going to come from. Other than maybe a set piece for a free kick, then you're sort of scratching your head. Boyd's struggled. You know, he took the penalty, and you thought if you got that, might have given him the confidence. We see little flashes from time to time, but again, his game isn't about holding it up and, you know, receiving a ball, chasing him behind. He really needs, as you mentioned in your comment on Saturday, he needs someone up top with him to play off and work together, maybe that number 10 role. So it is a concern that we didn't have a goal scorer such as Ben Armour's nice starting and chipping in with a goal here and there. We find it difficult, I feel.
Jim mentioned there that it's a young team. It's got an average age of 23, the squad, which is a big difference from the last couple of seasons when it's been around about the 28-29 average age mark. Should we kind of take that as not an excuse, but we should maybe take that on board and maybe not be as overly critical as what we may have been?
Yeah, potentially, but when you look around the squad, you know, there's players there with a lot of experience, you know, throughout the league, but as well as for Peterhead as well. So whilst it would probably play a part, I don't think it's that alone. You know, I know strikers need the service to feed them goals. We could be critical of that as well. You know, players need to step up in midfield as well and try and create better opportunities for the strikers. I sometimes feel the one-up-top formation, especially at home, doesn't work for us. Sometimes think you do maybe need two. Which is why at times it's maybe frustrating when you see 2-3 strikers sitting just a couple of yards along from us, and you feel, well, maybe if there's another one up top, you can try and create something. But again, it's all great in hindsight, but we, as you've mentioned, we certainly lack a goal scorer for trying to pay any aspirations at top five.
Okay, we'll hear from a couple of players now. Firstly, we'll hear from Hamish Ritchie.
Disappointing result again.
Yeah, disappointing. Just a really scrappy game, to be honest. Didn't have much chance, didn't really create much, so it was a tough day today.
Do you think the first goal made a difference?
We had our own chances. We had a couple of chances before that. And they scored the first, and then they made it a scrappy game as well. There wasn't much passing or that, just end-to-end kind of thing.
and you playing in midfield, does that kind of make it harder for you to try and create a chance?
Yeah, if you're not getting a feat, it obviously makes it harder, but I mean, you have to adapt to the game and just try to pick up second balls and just do as best you can, like when you can, basically.
Does the second and the third goals just kill it off completely?
I wouldn't say kills it off completely. It does take the wind out of you a bit when you're pushing for an equaliser and then they score a second and a third. But yeah, it's just football, isn't it?
And you yourself, how did you kind of assess your performance today?
I wasn't great. I like to get on the ball and like create chances and stuff. I didn't really do that much today, so disappointed personally, but it's just football, isn't it?
Got two games left before the split. What's the kind of task now, to win both those games, or is it just to try and get as many points as you can?
I mean, you always look to win football games if you don't ever go to draw or lose, whatever. But no, if we win the next two games, we've still got a chance of getting to the playoffs. So always looking up instead of down.
Results went kind of real wide today as well. So does that kind of ease it a little bit?
I've not actually seen the results today, but that's good to hear, I suppose, because safety is probably a priority, but now, like I said, we're looking up rather than down.
And you're getting a few games now, how are you settling in?
Yeah, definitely not as tired and stuff, like getting match fitness again, because it's such a long period of time without playing, and then obviously getting to know the boys and how they play a bit better, so yeah, I'm just enjoying it.
Right, we'll hear from defender Jason Brown next as well.
Jason, hugely disappointing result. How do you sum that one up?
Yeah, I think I'm hugely disappointed. I've came away scratching my head a wee bit. Don't think at all if there was. I think we were maybe the better side first half and we're going 1-0 down. And then we think if we can hang in there 10, 15 minutes in the second half, things might open up. Things didn't go to plan. We can't legislate for goals like that, but look, we all make mistakes. It's part and parcel of football. We've got a good squad in there, so we're all getting everyone's backs. So no, we'll look ahead now. It's, for I say, for the majority until it goes 2-3-0, I think we're well in the game. So yeah, frustrating.
Does it make it worse that the second and third goals come from mistakes?
Yeah, definitely. I think kind of you see the heads go down a wee bit. It's only natural that kind of happens. So you know, we just had to kind of hang in there and show togetherness, make sure we didn't make it too ugly. Because on the scoreline it looks like we've been battered today, but I don't think that's the case. If for people like yourselves here, I think we were around through in the game until it goes that couple of mistakes, and the scoreline looks bad, but we've got to keep our heads up. I thought first half definitely we competed well, so no, we just have to move on.
We said in commentary a few times that you yourself personally had done quite well against Brian Graham first half. How did you kind of sum up your performance?
Yeah, it's a good battle. It's the players you've got to be playing against. They've kind of done it at the top for so long, but I thought it was a good battle between us. He even said after the game it was a good battle always between me and him. So no, that's the way it was. I thought me and Andy both defended quite well, reasonably, the whole time. Although go away tonight and I'll scratch my head thinking how we've conceded three goals, but that's just the way it is.
How are you selling out with your new partnership with Andy then?
Good, I think it's coming along. Definitely coming along every game. I think Tuesday we defended well. Again, frustrated on Tuesday how we've came away and conceded. Should have got a clean sheet. And then today we haven't really give Graham or that a sniff and they've came away with 3-0. So it's frustrating, but I think the partnership's coming along nicely. We just need to keep working and training and games, and hopefully we'll get that wee slice of luck.
It's strange to say at 24 you're the senior man at the back, so are you settling into that kind of role now as well?
Yeah, definitely. I've been here a while, so I love it here. It's where I feel kind of like home is for me now. I'm only 24, so I'm still learning the game as well, and this, along with that, mistakes will come as well, and I just need to concentrate on my own game as well. But I'm trying to look around me now as well and try and push some of the younger boys we've got here as well on, because we've got a really good squad, and I can't emphasise it enough that first half you look at both teams, Park Thistle full time shouldn't really be in this league, should they? But again, we match them if not better than in certain extents. But from my own personal view, it's great to be playing in these games, and hopefully I can just keep on improving and building on performances.
Two games before the split, how do you kind of assess those next two games and what you're hoping to get out of them?
I think it's another two huge games. I think no game in this league's small or big or easy, so we know that we've got a massive challenge ahead. Like today was, like Tuesday was, they're all big games. It's good to be playing in. Every game is so important. So no, we'll look to finish with two wins. Definitely, there's no reason why we can't. So, but we'll take next Saturday first. We'll prepare well this week. It's good to have a week to prepare. So there have been a lot of games. I hope Conroy and Sy's okay for the weekend, and we all regroup and re-energise for next weekend, and then we'll look forward after that. But no, there's no reason why we can't go and win the next two games, and that's what we've got to be aiming for.
Right, apologies for our start for the audio. It was quite a busy press area after the game, but I think the emphasis, I think you heard the majority of what was said. Jason and Hamish both bitterly disappointed. Jason, I think, said a couple of times was that it's a good young squad, which again, what was said earlier on, what Jim was saying, they've got the belief, but it's obvious that as soon as something like that goes wrong, the heads drop quite quickly.
Yeah, I think that's only natural. As you said, it's the average age of the team's come down by 5-6 years. That's maybe when you do need your experienced players. Maybe even on the touchline, you know, Simon Ferry or Derek Lyle, just passing on that knowledge and trying to keep the heads up. But I'm sure if we can keep the vast majority of the players from next season, and they've got that other, you know, another year's experience under their belts, if you can add a goal scorer, easier said than done, I know. But there's a nucleus, a very good squad there.
And as we said as well, myself, Jason, and Andy McDonald seem to be forming a decent sort of partnership as well. I know it's strange to say after getting beat 3-0. However, they weren't to blame for any of the goals really as such. So, but you can see they are developing into a decent partnership.
I think had it not been for that too, you could be looking at about 5 or 6 with some of the clearances and headers and that they won. And yeah, like you said, there is a partnership forming. It will take time. You know, there is a lack of training, not only for Peterhead, but for every team just now in League 1 and 2. So I'm sure, again, if we can keep them two for next season and that they build up a good partnership with Josh Ray as well, I think we will see our defence is better improved than what it was this season.
Right, one final thought before we move on. Derek Lyle came off the bench. He got his 650th career appearance, which is a phenomenal achievement. Still going strong at 40. Obviously, he's not going to play as regular, but it's still quite a milestone to have.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's a very fit man. He looks after himself. You can see that with the warm ups and everything that he's doing. The training goes to the gym. We've seen he came on for a 20-minute appearance on Saturday, and he's writing about it. He's jostling. He's giving defenders a little bit of a nudge, old school tricks. And again, I'm sure players can learn off him, off the pitch as well as on the pitch. You know, he's an experienced man, and hopefully the players, your Ben Armours and your boys will realise, they can still be playing in 10, 15 years' time full cover for themselves.
He's still going strong, as I said, after 21 and a half years of when he made his debut. It was the 2nd October 1999, so you could say it was last century as well, if you can be that kind of cruel. But just to kind of put it into perspective, of the squad that it was there on Saturday, Josh Ray, Kieran Freeman, Danny Strachan and Kieran McGrath weren't even born when he made his debut.
Wow, that's a good start. You've done your homework. That's a good one. It just shows you he's looked after himself. He's kept himself fit. It just shows you that we've spoken to a few guys lately, and they always tell you that play as long as you can, you're a long time retired. And Derek's epitomising that. He doesn't want to retire at 32, 33. He's looked after himself. He's kept going. And, he deserves the credit for it.
And as we've said in previous weeks before as well, he's on the coaching staff now as well. He's helping out the strikers that's there. So his fitness regime can only help them.
Yeah, exactly. What he's learnt and what he's doing now, if he can pass that on to the younger crop of players that we've got, and they can see firsthand the work that Derek's doing. So yeah, if he keeps doing what he's doing, even at the age he's at, and passing on that knowledge, it can only benefit everyone.
So congratulations, Derek. Hopefully there's one or two more appearances and maybe a couple more goals as well before the end of the season. But we'll move on to the next two games. We've mentioned it a few times already, but we've got East Fife followed by Falkirk before the split. These are probably the tougher two ones that we probably anticipated once the restart kicked in. We'll talk first of all against East Fife. East Fife are just above us in the league. I think we're 4 points behind, so they are still mathematically got a chance to get into that top half. So they'll be gunning for getting that last spot as such.
Yeah, they'll want to win the game and also get, as you said, getting that top half bit. They probably know that if Peterhead win the game, they might just get dragged into, you know, a trickier end to the season than what they would want. So again, they're probably trying to do what we maybe thought we might do 2 weeks ago, just get a couple of wins under their belt and look at, get that top five, then you kind of get dragged into anything. So yeah, they'll be ready to come at us on Saturday.
Well, if you look at the table, in terms of the bottom half, Forfar, Dumbarton and Clyde, they're in. So really, there's two spots left, and you look at the top, Falkirk, Cove. You would think probably Partick Thistle now are safe in the top end. So between Montrose, East Fife, Airdrie, and ourselves, it's two for the top half, two for the bottom half, really.
Yeah, I would probably think that Montrose and Airdrie would get the top half. I thought I can see Peterhead and East Fife being in the bottom half, and you know, given the way that we spoke on the Saturday after the Dumbarton game, we generally thought, you know, there was an outside chance of getting in that top five. It just shows you in a couple of games in this division, then you're looking over your shoulder.
We did beat them earlier on in the season, 2-1, when Scott Brown scored that great winner. But that was the first time we'd beaten them in four, and we haven't beaten them down there since 2017, so it is going to be a tough task.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess what we look at is, you know, we're beating Partick Thistle away from home. So you try and take the positives. So some of our performances have been good away from home. I think sometimes we're actually maybe better away from home than done at Balmour for whatever reason. You try and take the defeat to Partick Thistle on Saturdays, you know, behind us. They'll have dissected it on Tuesday night at the training. So now it's try to be the upbeat and positive and try and get that 3 points. And I think if you get 3 points, depending on how results go on Saturday, you'd like to think that it would almost be job done. I know that you'd still have potentially the four games after the split as well, and you're playing each other around about you, but you'd like to think that it would be almost job done with a win on Saturday.
Preparations have kind of gone awry slightly in the last couple of days. The game's been brought forward to to 12 noon. Not just League One, but the whole Scotland fixtures have been affected. What's your take on the moving of the fixtures?
Yeah, there's been a lot of reaction on social media about it. I can see both sides of the argument, but I do think that, you know, the season's been impacted enough. These are part-time players. Is it really going to make that big a difference, them not being allowed to play at 3 o'clock? I think the game should have, personally for me, just been left at 3 o'clock. Maybe slightly different than the Scottish Cup. I think there was other things behind the scenes for that, but League One and League Two, again, I think the guys have been messing around enough. I think Stinis Murasim tweeted that they've got six games in 12 days or you know, something like that. Sounds stupid, and yet their games are getting moved. I think Montrose have got to go down to Kilmarnock for a 11:30 kickoff or something Saturday as well. So, yeah, I think it's a bit stupid. It should have just been left at the original kickoff times for me personally.
I don't see... I can see the difference if maybe the crowds could be at the football and at
absolutely
the funeral. Now, you maybe wanted to maybe jiggle things a bit, but the fact is everybody should be at home anyway. So you're essentially, what you're doing is you're just saying to the folk, like, if you want to watch the football, you watch the football. If you want to watch the funeral, watch the funeral. That's really the choice. what they've done now is if they've just completely, as I said, completely changed the whole the preparation for the playoffs and everything else. And we hear as well that the testing can't happen until 5:30, even though it's a 12:00 kickoff. It just seems ridiculous.
It's absolutely ludicrous. It's one thing moving the fixtures, but I do think that everything that goes along with it, if something's meant to happen 15, 20 minutes after kickoff, then it's all brought forward. How you can play the game, personally, what are they going to do for 2 hours after the game? Because you've still got to maintain that social distancing. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go into 4 or 5 different rooms? Are they all going to sit outside potentially? I mean, they speak about trying to help clubs out. I think they've just made it worse. And the fact the testing cannot commence till 5:30, it's bordering on being a joke, to be honest.
Yeah. So that's Saturday. And then we've got Tuesday, final home game before the split, Falkirk. Again, a couple of weeks ago, you'd have looked at them and you've thought that they were almost just making their way to winning the league, but they've just stumbled in the last couple of weeks, and maybe just the pressure of it is starting to tell.
Yeah, I think a few clubs that have been sort of top or near the top have sort of had a couple of poor performances, choked slightly. I think the pressure's on every club, especially this season with everything that's gone on, the lack of revenue. And, you've probably got Falkirk, part of Thistle, desperate to get promotion. Cove as well, they've spent money in the past and they're desperate to get promoted as well. Hopefully with crowds in next season within the Championship, they'll for every club. I think Falkirk have slightly choked a wee bit, but I do think that they'll come good. I do fancy them to win the title.
They drew with Dumbarton and lost to Airdrie, which was kind of slightly unexpected. But the advantage that they've got is that with the split, they will be playing the teams round about them. So it's in their hands to then go in and win the title.
Yeah, and I think that's where it'll suit them, because every team in the top half can't win. So they'll be picking up points against each other. But they'd probably think, what if at the moment, if they'd beaten, likes of Dumbarton, that's another couple of points on the board, they'd be looking pretty rosy at the top. But from our point of view, they're going to be coming up here, depending on the results at the weekend. They might not fancy coming all the way up here on a Tuesday night. But again, on the same token, depending on the result, we've got to be at it, because Falkirk's going to be at a tough game. We've always struggled against them, more so down there, but even up here, there's been a few games that we've struggled.
Yeah, it was the first game last season. We drew 0-0, and then we kind of thought, we could go into something here. But as the season kind of progressed, for both sides, it just completely changed. And then obviously they changed management, and then the next time they come up, they beat us 3-0. So yeah, it'll be extremely tough. But the post fixture, post split fixtures, I should say, start immediately after on the Saturday. So we're hoping by the next time that we record and we put out again, that we know where we're going and who we're playing against.
Yeah, relying on the SFA, I wouldn't hold your breath for it. Again, that's another thing I could mention. Where the guys playing the Tuesday and then they've got to play on the Saturday again. They've no idea where they're going to be playing. Now, I know there's no fans and it doesn't make that big a difference for fans travelling and whatnot, but the players have still got to, move their work commitments and whatnot around. And I think it's poor. I think there should have been a way that, that Saturday, if you finish 6th, you're going to be playing 7th. If you're 8th, you're playing 9th, and Team 10 have a rest week and vice versa for the top half. Just something so they've got some sort of plan on whether they're going to be home or away and the likelihood of who they're going to be facing. I think it could have been handled a little bit better.
You could say that about everything for the last year and a half, I suppose. It could have been handled
there
better.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, on that note, we'll end it there. So that'll be it for this week. My thanks to Martin, as always, for joining me. And we'd both like to thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week. We'll be slightly later next week again. We'll be Thursday next week. So we'll be out on the Thursday night instead of the Wednesday. But until then, stay safe and we'll see you then. Cheers.